Good evening, church. I hope you've had a restful holiday. Yes. It's nice for us to rest. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, just ask that tonight speak to us. Bless us with your word, and let the glory be yours, in Jesus' name, amen. So the theme for the month of May is engaging divine promises. Engaging divine promises. You know, and when I got the theme last week, I immediately resonated with the theme. Engaging divine promises. And Reverend started the series on Sunday. I remember him telling us that what you don't engage will remain on one spot. And he used the example of the gear of a vehicle. That if you don't put the car in gear, no matter how much you rev the vehicle, it will not move. In addition to that, what you don't even engage can retrogress. Not only in one spot, you can move back. You can move back. My sister-in-law was in Nigeria for about 7 years doing, she's a nurse in the UK, and she was tired of UK, so she came to Nigeria, and then she was doing sonography. And then she was here for about 7 years. But you know, Nigeria is a tough. It's a tough T-U-R-F, tough. So she had to go back to the UK. But when she got to the UK, they said, no, you have not been engaged here. So to get back to the system, it was a lot. She did exams, she did a lot of engagements to get back to the system. You know, so really, if your mind is idle, you don't engage your mind, you can retrogress, can go back, not only on one spot, you can move back. But the theme says, engaging divine promises. Let's talk a little bit about promises before we come back to engaging. I have a definition here that says, a declaration, promise, it's a declaration or assurance that one will do something. It's a declaration. It's an assurance that one will do something. You rent a house, your landlord says it's $250,000 per annum, and you sign a contract. It's like a promissory note. It's a promise that every year, I'm going to pay 250,000 naira to live in this house. Some of us do our job. We belong to a cooperative. We say, every month, I will contribute 10,000 naira to this cooperative. It's like a promise. It's an assurance. You are giving that person an assurance that I will do this. We say a promise is a debt, something that you must pay. Now, I now saw a quote that says, people with good intentions make promises. People with good character keep them. How many of us keep promises? People with good character keep them. You come, say, Oga, I need 50,000 naira for something. I will return it in 2 weeks. People with good character
They keep them.
But what we have today, but Numbers 23 verse 18 says, God is not a man. God is not a man. God knows what man is capable of doing. God knows the limitation of man. Some of us will have the intentions to pay back. Coco, you're not new. Are you going to kill yourself? The answer is no. He says, God is not a man that he should lie. Men lie for various reasons. Sometimes it might be fear. Fear of being reprimanded. Fear of punishment. God is not a man that he should lie. Not a son of man that he should repent. He said as he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Another version says, as he has promised, will he not fulfill? God is not a man. God knows that men lie. God knows that men have limitations. God knows that man has the provision for repentance. Everybody that has lied, you can repent. But God cannot repent. Repent to who? For who? To himself? God is not man that he should lie, or son of man that he should repent. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is what? Faithful. Talking about promises, divine promises. He who promised is faithful. He cannot lie. When God promises something, he will do it. He's a faithful God. And I'm sure that everybody here, you can testify to the faithfulness of God. Brother Solomon, am I right? Huh? You can testify to the faithfulness of God. Sometimes you look at it, God, are you not in this? What's happening? God, what's happening to you? But at the end of the day, you know God is a faithful God. My brother there can testify. He's faithful. He will not lie. He will not deceive you. He will not do conny with you. If he has said it, the Bible says he's faithful. And I'm sure that everybody here has a testimony to declare about the faithfulness of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 24 says, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. The Message version of that verse says, the one who called you is completely dependable. The one who has called is completely, not partially, not partly dependable, completely dependable. If he said it, he will do it. If God has said it, he will do it. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9 says, therefore, note that the Lord your God, he is God. You know, I paused a little bit. He said, know that the Lord your God, he is God. Why the emphasis? Why didn't you just continue? Know that the Lord your God will do this. Know that the Lord your God, he is God. He is God. I was talking this morning to my people at home. So we're talking. I said, if you understand the enormity of God, if you understand the magnitude of God, we worship him. We can't understand God completely. It's not possible. But if you understand little about God, that's why he says, know this, God your... Have they changed it? This is another version, message version. No, I'm not saying... It says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God. Why the emphasis? I told them this one. I said, how many people are on the surface of the earth? Somebody said about 7 billion. And I said, everybody, every individual comes with a natural ID. When you are coming from, you are coming with a natural ID. And in that 7 billion, there's nobody that has your own ID. Only you. Can you imagine the awesomeness of God? Only you is 7 billion. And my wife said, and even those that have died, you are the only one with that ID. So to what tech have I? No other person has that biometric. How did he do it? What software? What technology? What's the software that God used? What's the technology that you can't duplicate somebody's biometric? God is awesome. God is great. And that's why he says here, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God. The faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. He will keep that promise for 1,000 generations. What's a generation? I was looking at this. Some said 25 years. Some said 30 years. He will keep that promise for 30,000 years. For 25,000 years. He is God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. Says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. For all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen. Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. Now, are all promises of God for us engaging divine promises? You see, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I realized that there are some general promises of God that we can lay claims to. Very general. Let me, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a promise of God based on the forgiving nature of our God. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 says, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a promise. Psalm 1, very common one. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. It shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. It's a promise of God. And these promises, we can lay claims to it. Everyone. What of those that say, both those that wait on the Lord shall renew their what? Their strength. It's a promise that every one of us can lay claims to. But there are some specific promises
Very specific promises.
So I think that we need to identify those specific ones. When you engage a promise that God has not given you, you can get into trouble. And some of us want to take it by force. And you know God is saying, this is not yours. It's not your own. But you are engaging it. You're fighting for it. You are battling for it. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man. Those things, they look like promises for you. Since there's a way that seems right, it seems right. It has the semblance of everything. It looks right. It seems right. But it says the end is what? It's death. I like the message version of that Proverbs 14 verse 2. Since there's a way of life that looks harmless enough, he now says, look again. It leads straight to hell. That means, be careful. Look again. Pray again. Watch again. See, it looks harmless. It looks like the right thing. It looks like the promise. He now says, look again. Be more careful. He says, it leads straight to hell. For instance, every single lady here, not every single man is your husband. Because you are single and you find a single man that is saying hello to you, does that make it the divine promise? And you start to engage, you start to battle. There are some jobs that are not yours. It looks like it. But the end is what? Destruction. It's death. It's death. Let me read. You see, every business opportunity is not divine promise. So you must be able to identify the promise of God for you. I've shared it here before. Everybody, they told me, I'll make 25,000 naira every day from truck business in Lagos. Lekki Aja. And I went to America, I bought a truck. And I put it there. Every business opportunity is not divine promise. For some, you will lose a lot of money. And I mean a lot. I've gone into businesses that I know. I lost so much. And in fact, I went to the bank to get money, to get loan. Everything disappeared. It seems right. It seems good. Let me read Deuteronomy chapter 2. I'll read 4 and 5. I will read 9. I will read 19. And then we'll go to 24. 2, 4, and 5. Deuteronomy chapter 2, 4 and 5. It says, give the people these orders. You are about to pass through the territory of your relatives, the descendants of Esau who live in Seir. They will be afraid of you. It means that you can intimidate them. They'll be easy. They'll be easy for you. Since they'll be afraid of you. But be very careful. Do not provoke them to war. For I will not give you any of their land. Not even enough to put your foot on. He says they'll be afraid of you. It's as good as done. We see businesses. This is easy. Wow. This is good, cool money. They'll be afraid of you. He says, but be careful. Do not provoke them to war. Don't try it. Don't provoke them to war. He says, I've not given you that. It's not your own promise. It's not yours. Let's go to verse 9. Then the Lord said to me, do not harass the Moabites or provoke them to war, for I will not give you any part of their land. That one too is not your own. That girl is not yours. Verse 19. When you come to the Ammonites, do not harass them or provoke them to war. For I will not give you possession of any land belonging to the Ammonites. I will not give it to you. Don't provoke them to war. It's not your own. It's not yours. So what is it that you are claiming now that looks difficult? Please, let us go back to God. See, it's not yours. But let's go to 24. He says, set out now and cross the Arnon Gorge. See, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his country. He says, begin to take possession of it and engage him in what? In battle. This very day, I'll begin to put the terror and fear of you on all the nations under heaven. They will hear reports of you and will tremble and be in anguish because of you. That one, engage in battle. That one. Engage that one in battle. But the question is, how do you know which one? Can I have a mic? How do you know which one to engage in battle? Anyone? And any answer is right. It says that one, you can engage in battle. Engage it. I will give it to you. So a lot of us are fighting battles that we have lost already before we started. Yeah, now how do we? I mean, any answer is right. I just want us to talk. How do we identify the ones that we know is ours? Yes. Thanks, doctor, for bailing me out.
Well, I just want to try.
I mean, don't try me.
Since you said there's no right answer. Well, I want to see it in a way that your skill, your area of skill or specialty is an area that God has given to you. You will identify it. And that is an area where you can battle and you can struggle. So that's where, as you are talking, I just look at it that way.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much. Okwati Yawonko. How do you identify the woman or the man? Yes, you want to talk, ma? You want to talk? Is your hand up, ma? What are we doing? Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think the absence of peace in any endeavor could also, anytime there's an absence of peace, we should check. Is that promise really for me? Is this person, is this partner right? Is this business right? You know, absence of peace, I think, is a major thing. We need to go back to God if there's no peace in our hearts concerning it.
Thank you very much. Did you want to say something? Okay, quickly.
The Bible says there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Lord give it understanding. If it is your area, your skill set will fit. It will be effortless. I mean, when you see people drumming, some people will be looking at it as magic. And you'll get to your own area. It will just be a ride over. Your spirit will agree with it. Your skill set will be the same with it. And there will be peace inside of it.
Thank you.
That is when you know.
Thank you so, so much. Now, last one. Okay, last one. Papa Steve-O.
I just want to share my personal experience.
Okay, quickly, sir.
Several years ago, about 15 or more than 15 years ago, I was tired of living or staying in Ibadan. And I wanted to get out. So I've gone to where I desire to go, either Port Harcourt or Abuja. I've visited the places and I've done all my own work. How will I go, the vehicle to take? I've spent money on it. So, but a friend of mine just came and we were praying and he said, and I told him, in a few days I'll be getting out of Ibadan. And he said, has your wife agreed with you? I said, yes, we've discussed about it. I've even gone far in my plan with her. And he said that when you get home, ask her again. If she agrees with you that she'll go, then you can move. But if she disagree and say, no, don't go this time. So after our prayers that I just got to, and I said, do you still want me to go? He said, no, I don't want you to go. Let's stay together in Ibadan here. So and I forgot about it. So like the message you preach on Sunday, we should not lean on our own understanding. But in all our ways, we should acknowledge him and he shall direct our paths. So and I decided to stay behind.
Thank you very much. God bless you. You see, what's our level of walk with God? Do you hear from God? God does God talk to you? It was God that was instructing here. Don't go there. Wajeba. Don't go there. Wanuel. But Lord CB, go and battle here. I've given you this one. Let me share two quick examples, stories. My wife was doing locum in a place in Lagos. And she applied for a job in UNICEF. Good job. So one day, while she was in that workplace, a nurse ran to her in the morning and said, Dr. Taramola, I had a dream. You got a job in UNICEF. I said, UNICEF? She said, yes, we're all rejoicing here. Don't you know what UNICEF is? Yes, UNICEF. You got a job in UNICEF. UNICEF. So my wife just walked up to me and no, she went to call me. I said, wow, did this woman see my application letter? I said, no. Teramoshe, God is saying something to you. So she's now started. Before then, she wasn't preparing for the job. Then she went all out to prepare for the job. Eventually, the interview came. They interviewed them, but she didn't get the job. And then you begin to wonder, God, you sent this woman to me that I got a job in UNICEF. We were rejoicing. God, what is happening here? Shortly after the opening of where she's working now, the vacancy opened. And exactly the interview of UNICEF was what they brought to this new place. If God did not prepare her for that UNICEF, she couldn't have got it. The new place, they interviewed as far as Canada, London, America, to recruit doctors. They said she came number one. Because they were not asking medical questions. It was preparation for the UNICEF. When God speaks, he's not a man that he should lie. And Solomon, that should repent. I walked somebody into the admissions office in 1988. I was very young. I was not a Christian. But my mother was praying. And I knew that they were praying for me. In fact, I was wondering, why did they pray for husband and wife at a very young age? We are 7 or 8. Oh, ni gbegun legun. Oh, ni sele. And my mind, I was wondering, I walked into that admissions office with another lady. And I saw this woman there. And I heard it loud and clear. That is your wife. Loud and clear. That is your wife. When I had, I left the lady and I went to meet her. What is your name? She told me her name. What is your room number? She gave me a room number. So in the evening, God is too much. God is too much. In the evening, I walked up to her room. And when I got to the room, it was a toilet. It was a toilet. And I saw it was the wooden hostel in Queen's Hall. It was a toilet. And I started wondering, why did she have to lie? Why did she have to lie? So I was going out. I was going outside the hall. As I got in front of her room, she opened her door and she came out. I mean, you think it's coincidence? No! It's not coincidence. I was going out, and as I got in front of her room, she opened her door, and she stepped out to come and do something, and she met me there. She started laughing. God is not one that I should lie. When God speaks to you, it's final. What am I saying in essence? Let's have a walk with God. Let's have a walk with God. W-A-L-K. If God speaks, it's final. Quickly, because of our time, why do we need to battle? Why do we need to battle? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9 says, for a great door, an effectual door, is open unto me. It's opened. A great door is opened. A wide door is opened. But what happens? Only that what? Eh? Kilong pull adversaries. Eh? They will not allow you to enter that door. You cannot enter that door. Do you have two heads? It's a great door. It's open to me. Get an effectual. It's open. See, but there are not one adversary, not two, not three, not four. He says there are many adversaries. Many adversaries waiting for you by the door. Mabo. Come. In that story that we read, those in the city, were they not there? There were people in the city, and God says, go and take possession. You think they will leave the city for you? So you must battle. You must battle. So quickly, how do you engage? I just wanted to discuss maybe one because of our time. I have like 3 or 4 minutes. You know, we know the strategies, the powers in prayers, fasting, you know. But I would just want to take one. And it's called agreement. I'm sure other people that come from next week, they will handle other aspects. I just want to talk about agreement. Agreement. I wonder why couples suffer. Couples should not suffer. Couples should not be in lack. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. It's a very common verse. It says, see, if two of you in heaven, Abby, is that what the Bible says? It says, if two of you on earth agree about what? Anything. You ask for. I will say there are about 5 components there. 2 people on earth agree anything. He didn't say something, so anything, then ask for. He says it will be done by my Father in heaven. So out of those 5 things, which one is the problem there? Eh? What's the problem there? Agreement. Agreement. My family, the little success that we have been able to record in my home is on the power on platform of agreement. Once we can agree, you don't want to know incredible things. And I mean incredible things. Incredible things. Once we agree, write on this verse of the Bible, Matthew 18, go and do research on it. You can engage with this verse of the Bible. There are 2 people on earth agree on anything they ask for. He says, my Father in heaven will do it. You don't want to know our testimony. You don't want to know our testimony. It's agreement. An agreement is not mouth. Hey, Jesus, we agree. No. Because God sees the heart. God knows that one is doubting. God knows that one is not straightforward. God knows that one is thinking otherwise. It's not what you say. It is in the heart. Agreement. Go and look at Genesis chapter 11. God came down to scatter them. He came down to scatter them. People of God, have somebody to agree with. There are several other things that we can engage divine promises with. But I'm just saying one. I'm sure other people will talk about the other ones. Good evening, sir.